You're listening to the Counterculture Mom Show. Our kids are under fire every day with the media and pop culture persuading them to give up their faith and Christian values. Stay tuned now as former Hollywood actress and pop culture expert Tina Griffin helps you counter these messages and safely navigate today's pop culture chaos.
Parents, have you checked out our Counterculture Mom app yet? You can get it at Google Play, iTunes Store. It'll keep your sanity and keep you from losing any more hair. If you are a parent that feels overwhelmed when it comes to keeping up with the constantly changing technology and influence on your kids, this is the app for you. Download the Counterculture Mom app. Just because Hollywood dishes up sex, violence, pornography, and drug use in all facets of entertainment doesn't mean we have to allow it in our homes. Our goal is to put the power back in your hands to help you choose a safe media environment for your kids. Our app is not just loaded with the current problems in pop culture, but solutions on how you can address these different topics with your kids. It also has talking points, videos, you name it. In turn, your children will know how to make their own wise media choices and develop a healthy worldview as a result. So keep your hair and download the Counterculture Mom app now by going to Google Play, iTunes Store, or you can also visit our website, counterculturemom.com. and know how to safely navigate the pop culture chaos and what media you want to allow through your front door. Discipleship without mission is discipleship without Christ. The church often lacks maturity and missional impact because discipleship is at its periphery. Pastor and discipler Unstrasser shows that when discipleship becomes central to your leadership and community, then discipleship becomes central to congregational mission and cultural renewal. Centering Discipleship is a gutsy practice-based guidebook for leaders who are doing the hard work of reimagining and restructuring their churches and communities to turn spectators into missional, mature followers of Jesus. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm your host, Tina Griffin. Yes, you guessed it. Discipleship is what we are discussing this week on the program. Excited to talk with Unstrasser, co-vocational lead pastor of Makelo'o. Un, how you doing today?
Awesome. Tina, kudos for all the pronunciation. It's really hard. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. We won't tell the audience how many times that I do your name and your church name before we hit the record button. You woman, Unstrasser of Makelo'o. Yes, I got this. Okay. Your church name, Makelo'o. I feel like I should be in Hawaii. I should have put more of a Hawaiian shirt on. It kind of has a little bit of that feel. You probably don't have leopards or any of those wild animals running around your neck of the woods or island. But what does your church name mean?
In Hawaiian, it means presence. Our tagline is we believe in the presence of God, being present with one another and present in the community around us. So we love everything about presence.
I just love it. Makelo'o. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Makelo'o.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I should have had like a lei around my neck. That would have really added to the mix. I kid you not, my husband and I were talking about where could we take the kids for spring break. We've got 7 or 8 days off from school. Pearl Harbor, we just had a whole series on topics that were critical to our nation. Pearl Harbor was in the mix, and we were looking at flights to come your direction last night, less than 24 hours. So maybe I'll get to meet you in person, check out Makelo'o and your whole entire church family, and talk discipleship on the beach.
And we'll give you a lay.
That is just amazing. You're doing better so far with this taping than I am. All right, let's get right in the mix. You're an executive leader at the V3 Movement, the church planting arm of the Baptist General Association of Virginia, and you and your husband, Steve, have three seriously amazing children. How old are those kids?
Well, they're no longer cute anymore. They're 19, almost 18, almost 15. So.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I was like, I don't hear them screaming in the background. Well, that's why they're teenagers often.
No. If they're screaming now, it's for a different reason and I would have to get off.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's behind a wheel and something just happened. I tell you what. All right. Talk to us. Why does the church often lack maturity and missional impact?
Oh man, what a loaded question, Tina. If we were to able to answer that question in just like a sentence, we're done.
This wouldn't even be necessary, right? Unreal.
Yeah, I think that it probably has to do with leaders not knowing how to clearly define and cast vision around what discipleship is. Discipleship is such an overused word in the church, and yet it's so hard to pinpoint what it is. It's hard to pinpoint it any place in the world. I do a lot of work both in the US and the UK around discipleship, centering discipleship and whatnot, but it doesn't really matter. If you were to ask 10 different leaders what discipleship is, you would get 10 very different or vague ambivalent answers to it. So I do think that it's difficult to center something if you don't know how to define it clearly.
Okay, well, tell us some of the top examples of what pastors or leaders would give you if you ask them what discipleship is.
Yeah, I think that it probably falls in line with, being a good person, attending church or being a part of a faith community, being a nice person, or having some sort of moral character. I didn't murder someone, right? Some people would say, I think this is the closest I think people get is, I went through a discipleship class or some sort of discipleship program that was offered at my church.
Unreal. And maybe they might say talking to people, but that's about it. That's heading at least in somewhat of the right direction. Well, we see what happens as a result in a culture that does not disciple followers. And a lot of times people place their faith in Christ. I have a lot of teens over the years that would tell me, yes, I placed my faith in the Lord when I was 14, but they didn't mature. And a lot of them are wanting answers. They're just not getting them. So we have a big bomb of a problem. However, I'm just going to plug your book right away because I think it's absolutely phenomenal. Everybody must get their hands on it. Every single person. You don't have to be a leader in a church or a speaker or a TV host in order to get your hands on this book and then learn something from it. Everybody needs it. Centering Discipleship, A Pathway for Multiplying Spectators into Mature Disciples. If we take scripture and your book and apply it in our lives, what would we see as a result in our world today?
I think it's actually probably a more concise version of what scripture says about discipleship. You know what I mean? I think that if Christians are actually more into scriptural reading on a daily basis and meditating, everyone would actually come to this conclusion about what discipleship means. So I don't think that it's separate from it. It's just sort of like a cheat sheet, maybe, for the modern day Christian who doesn't have that much time. But I think clarity is what's going to help bring Christians back to what the truth of the Word of God says about discipleship. And so discipleship, in a nutshell, I think if you think about it from a scriptural context, we often think that the word discipleship comes from the Synoptic Gospels including the Gospel of John. But actually, the first time any semblance of the word of follower of Christ actually came first from the Apostle Paul. So we have to remember, for a first century Christian, for the first church, for the first Christians who follow Jesus, and they put their life on the line, their well-being on the line, all those kinds of things, right? It was a minority culture. It was a persecuted culture. It was a culture that was not very popular, right, in that time. So if you're that person, what does it mean to be a disciple? And the Apostle Paul was the first to actually write about it, because we have to remember that the epistles of Apostle Paul came before the very first written gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark. So you have to first think about, what does a first century Christian think about it, what it looks like and mean to be a follower of Christ? And the word that the Apostle Paul uses of every follower is mimetes. Not the traditional word of the Greek word methetes, which is disciple of a rabbi, right? A learner of a rabbi. But mimetes doesn't really mean just learner, follower. It's where we get the English word imitation. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. And that's the first part about what it means to be a disciple.
It just is mind-blowing how simple yet profound discipleship really is from what you just explained. Why do you think we have lost it the last 2,000 years to a point where today everybody is mostly clueless with what discipleship is, and they forget that it's a critical key step in order to becoming more like Christ so you can help other people place their faith in the Lord as a result?
Yeah, I think a lot, I think several key like cultural phenomena probably has happened over most theologians and biblical scholars would say that it happened in the last 300 years. So you're kind of including not just the US and our depiction of what it means to be a Christian, but you're thinking about primarily the UK. And so, you know, if you're thinking about what has happened in Western Christendom in specifically, culture has shifted much more from communal to individualistic. You know, the introduction of capitalism makes it so that we live in a culture where we think about consumerism more than what it means to give.
Give
We want to
back.
think first about taking. But that's all culturally ingrained. These aren't things that we wake up thinking, today I'm going to be a consumeristic, you know, individualistic
Selfish,
person, right?
right.
Yeah, nobody's thinking that. No follower of Jesus, nobody who goes to church is thinking that about themselves, right? Instead, we think, you know, I read my Bible, I pray, you know, I attend church, I must be a Christian. But, you know, if you think about it again from the original culture, where Christianity just exponentially grew, right? You think about table fellowship. The culture was so much more communal, and they were like breaking grounds back then about not being choosy or picky about who's at table with you, right? All were invited, which is such a crazy thing, right? To think about now. It wasn't as individualistic, it wasn't as consumeristic as Christianity, or I would say culture influencing our faith today.
It's so good. And I can't tell you how many different people came on this program the last 2 or 3 weeks talking about the importance of community, basically breaking bread with each other, listening to each other, including everyone, and caring about the people around them. And I think in one episode, I even talked about the fact that I almost want to put sandals on and walk around and pretend it's 2,000 years ago and I'm walking around with Jesus on the face of the earth. Getting back to the basics and what life was like back then, which yes, there was still persecution, but there's so many things in our world today that is causing a major divide and a major distance between us and the Lord. And getting back to the simplicity of discipleship is so critical. I can't even keep up with the thoughts in my mind from everything that you've just said. Everybody on the episodes this week is just blowing my mind with the importance of discipleship and how we have to apply it in our lives on a daily basis, show it to our kids, live it out ourselves. It's just wild. We're going to go a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do we get discipleship back into the center of the church right after this.
Have you ever wanted to start a charity or ministry? Launching a nonprofit can be time-consuming, expensive, and overwhelming. If you have a vision and mission, but don't know where to start or how to raise donations, Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution. Their ministry charity project allows you to receive tax-free donations without the expense and hassle of forming your own 501c3, and in less than 48 hours. This ministry partnership fund is exactly how Counterculture Ministries got its start, and we grew quickly. Capstone Legacy Foundation handles all your legal and accounting paperwork, allowing you time to develop the ministry and message God gave you. Call Capstone today at 610-688-8890 or check out capstonelegacy.org for more information and tell them Tina sent you. Partner with Capstone Legacy Foundation to transform our culture for Christ and get your nonprofit started today.
If you're a busy mom like me, juggling kids, home life, and everything in between, you know healthcare is a huge decision. What's worked for me and my family for over a decade? MediShare. Over the years, I've had all four of my kids with MediShare, gone through two major surgeries, and never once stressed about the bills being paid. MediShare is affordable, saving us up to 50% compared to other healthcare options. And I love knowing our money never ends up supporting things that don't align with our values. MediShare offers 24/7 access to telehealth services as well. Have a sick kid in the middle of the night? Not a problem. They've got your back. So if you're looking for healthcare that fits your family and your values, I can't recommend MediShare enough. Call today at 1-866-88-BIBLE and be sure to mention Counterculture Mom when you enroll. That's 1-866-88-BIBLE. And join the thousands of families like mine who found healthcare that truly cares about what matters most. And can you tell us, how do we get discipleship back into the center of the church if it's that big of a problem in our culture today?
Yeah, that is probably the number one question that a lot of leaders and pastors ask me when I'm doing this work with them. And I think that the inkling underneath is you feel like, oh my gosh, this feels so important. I need to get this done as soon as possible. So I want a clean house, clean slate, and start all over. And we want to do this, right? And I'm just like, if you do that, then you literally miss your call on what God has called you to do, which is to lead and love the people God has given you already. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, and this is starkly true leaders, he says, you know, a leader should never complain about their people. And leaders, foremost, they should never complain about their people to God. And so if we're thinking that there is a miss in vision or perspective or focus in our church around discipleship, the first place isn't actually to think and wish for a new group of people, a group of people who will follow and then they'll implement this with me. And then that's how we're going to. No. The first place to start is, who are the people God has given you right now? Every single one of them, I would see them as people who will one day or already is following Christ. The people in my congregation, and what do they need right now to better maturely follow Jesus and imitate him, right? That's the first question, how do we do something brand new? We're not saying we're going to do something brand new. We're saying we're trying to do something brand old, right? And so how do we do that together well, faithfully, and lovingly for our people?
Yeah, absolutely. And another follow-up question I think is so huge and needed is, you hear the phrase, get off the bench, get in the game. But so many people want to get off the bench. They don't want to be spectators. They want to be mature, mission-minded followers of Jesus. So how do we help people literally get off the bench and get in the game?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I absolutely 1000% believe in the priesthood of all believers. But I think it comes with a caveat. If the leaders don't actually think about the focus that they and the responsibility they have over the people that God has given them to lead and love, you have to remember there are certain things that only leaders do, and you can't delegate that out to other people. And, and it's not usually things like giving a sermon or playing music really well. Those are awesome. Wonderful, wonderful worship services, super meaningful. It's important. But if I'm a leader, there are three things that I know that I'm holding the DNA of. And if I don't do this, then the people that God has given me to lead in love won't follow along either. The Apostle Paul says, right, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's the leader's role, right? Mm. Are they primarily also a follower of Jesus first? And then does their discipleship and imitation of Christ as a leader bleed into, so that there is a centering of discipleship in what the leader emphasizes or focuses on, which is all about resources, time resources, financial resources, leadership pipeline resources, content resources. The leader actually sets the pace for all of that. The second thing is the leader's invitation. It doesn't matter how many times leaders say, oh, it won't matter, people don't care. Yes, they do. They watch what you are inviting people to, and they watch what you're not inviting people to. So leaders have a huge hand on invitation. Mm-hmm. And lastly, vision. It's the leader's job to feel and sound like a broken record, to cast vision that's holistic, that's inclusive, that is challenging and compassionate over and over and over again, until I can hear my own people probably say and cast the vision better than me. But on average, it takes about 2 to 3 years to be a broken record. But if vision isn't cast for your congregation to center discipleship, it will not magically happen.
Yeah, not at all. And then I could see why and how congregations can also split or just never fully develop a deep relationship with the Lord as a whole entire body, because everybody's going different directions because there's no major mission, vision, and purpose for that church. So good. What are some key points in your phenomenal book, Centering Discipleship, A Pathway for Multiplying Spectators into Mature Disciples? 5-star here on Amazon. We've got to get our hands on it. What are some things you talk about in that book to help us know exactly what to do to actually disciple our kids, no matter how old the kids are and the fact that we might not have done a good job up until now?
I think that we have to have clarity that there are four key buckets that you want to see Christ-like maturity in. It's Christ-like maturity in character. People's inside out hearts should be transformed if they're following Christ. Mm-hmm. They should grow to become more patient, to be more generous, to be more hospitable, because you're imitating Christ. You can't help but become more like Jesus in character, right? The second thing is a Christ-like theology, or the having the mind of Christ. We should be people, if we're following and imitating someone, you start thinking like that person. You start thinking about the Father the same way that the Son thought about the Father, right? You start thinking about your fellow human beings the same way that Jesus thought and cared for them, right? You want the way that our minds are transformed to imitate Christ.
I love it.
Third, you want a Christ-like wisdom. Do we have the tools and necessities to navigate the complexities of life? Christians should actually be the wisest people in the room in any setting, no matter how much persecution or travesties, tragedies are happening. We should probably be the most even-keeled. We're desperately compassionate, and we'll lament and weep with those who are suffering, but we're also people who are guarding joy that doesn't make sense in the world, right? We should be the wisest people in any setting. And then lastly, Christ-like sentness or missional living. The Trinitarian God has been missional from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So if we don't understand that, imitating God as a sending God, as a missional God, then we would just think that following Jesus is as simple as just going to one place and one little comfortable gathering once a week, and we are not sent anywhere else into the world. And that's not following Jesus.
It all makes complete sense. And I'm going to talk to you about one more little curveball question here right after a short word from our sponsors.
I came in as a boy, and I'm leaving as a young man.
They're developing lifelong friends, and they're being pushed beyond what they think their limitations are.
It's helped me with importance of leadership, because, I mean, before Trail Life, I literally did nothing.
As a mom, I love the fact that I know that our son is involved in a Christ-centered, boy-focused group. We're confident that he's in a safe environment, that he's getting the mentorship and leadership of men who have the type of foundation that we need him to get.
I've never really been able to talk in public, and being in Trail Life, everyone's so accepting of you, and that really helped me become who I am and who God wants me to be.
Me and my dad, we really didn't talk a lot, and my mom wanted my dad to go. He was like, sure, I'll go. So he asked off for work, and he went. And ever since then, me and my dad's relationship has gotten closer.
Experience the Trail Life difference. Find a troop near you or start one today by visiting www.traillifeusa.com.
What if there was a safe, drug-free way to help your anxiety and stress levels? Well, now there is with Restore Patch. It's great for anyone suffering from fear, anxiety, sleep issues, lack of energy, or even migraines. It's the latest in wearable technology, a simple, all-natural, chemical-free wearable patch. Risk-free with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I'm just less anxious. I'm happier. I'm calmer.
I've had both of these together all day. Been focused. Been great.
I decided to give these a try because I just wanted to give my body a break, but I wanted to do so without chemicals, without prescription medications, and this has been great.
I was skeptical, and I tried it, and I am beyond thrilled that I did.
I'm telling you, this is everything I've ever needed.
Anyone can benefit from Restore Patch. To help your body get back on track or keep it there, just go to restorepatch.com and use code Tina at checkout to get 10% off.
Give us a 1-2 last punch here on the importance of discipleship, how we get started, and the blessing that comes from it.
Absolutely. Discipleship not being centered at the end of the day is a worship problem. If discipleship is not being centered in the lives, in individual lives, in a communal life, in a congregational life that actually brings about flourishing for the neighborhood that that church resides in, if that is not happening, then it's a worship problem, because we are saying that something else besides Jesus is going to be tending to my intimacy with God, my personal wholeness, my community and fellowship with others, and renewal that I get to participate in the neighborhood that I live in. We're saying that if we are not living it, and we're saying that that's something else. And as much as I love the church so much, right, and worship services and all those things, but we are probably saying that at best, a Sunday worship gathering is going to tend to all of those things, but I guarantee that a Sunday morning worship gathering cannot be the only thing that shows forth a huge blessing of presence to everybody. Why Jesus? It's not just the important thing. It is the most important thing to Christ.
Challenging message. It must move forward. We have to be the disciples that God called us to be. We need to be reading His Word every single day, asking God how to apply it into our lives, see the change take place, praise Him for that change, and then go out and share this truth with other people, because He's coming back very, very, very soon. Go out there, make a difference, have fun discipling your children, your neighbors, your spouse. Any last words of wisdom?
Oh my gosh, Tina, I just want to have like a loco moco with you.
I didn't even know you're from Hawaii, and look at the shirt that I wore. It's just unbelievable. Lord, thank you for telling me what to wear every single week, like clockwork on the Counterculture Mom Show. Everybody out there, go get them.
Thanks for joining us for the Counterculture Mom Show with your host, Tina Griffin. For over two decades, Tina has traveled the globe exposing how pop culture is glamorizing harmful behaviors without showing the consequences, and how these messages are wreaking havoc on today's youth. Through radio, TV, podcasts, and our app, Counterculture Ministries is reaching millions every week with a biblically based message for hope for today's teens and their parents. But we can't do that without your faithful prayer and financial investment. If you appreciate the ministry of Tina and Counterculture Ministries, would you prayerfully consider a generous gift right now? We have a donor matching dollar for dollar. You can give securely online by visiting counterculturemom.com or by texting the word donate to the number 55444. That's counterculturemom.com or text the word donate to the number 55444. Every dollar is doubled. If you love this show, you can stay up to date on the latest critical issues affecting your family by catching all of our weekly episodes with resource links, signing up for our e-newsletter, and downloading our Counterculture Mom app, where you get timely pop culture alerts. Visit counterculturemom.com for more details. And be sure to join us next week for another edition of the Counterculture Mom Show with Tina Griffin, where we are rewriting Hollywood's script for our kids.